Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Not really read the whole chapter as we sometimes do. Well, I'm glad to be back up here. You keep me in your prayers. I am convinced, as Brian said, that life and death is in the hands of God. And no matter what we think, we plan, you think if you eat your spinach salad, you're going to live longer? Maybe so. But my wife was the chicken eater, and I thought she'd outlive me 20 years. And I'm the red blood meat eater. Okay? Give me a choice. I'll take steak and potatoes every time. All right. Look, if you will, at verse 38 and 39 in Acts chapter 13. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Let's pray. Father, your word is clear. Help me to make it even clearer. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And would you open our minds, all of our minds, to the truth of your word.
Amen.
Lord, if there be a lost soul in the sound of my voice, I pray that soul might come to Christ, be forgiven, be transformed,
Amen.
And go to heaven. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would give us a burden. Give us an understanding. Help us to see how valuable your salvation is. Oh God, give me freedom that I may speak it clearly. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to read this chapter, but actually it's a very good chapter. You ought to read it. Very blessed time. Paul, if you look back at verse 14, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Paul and Barnabas are heading out on this missionary journey. They've been set apart by the church to be missionaries and to go to the Gentiles. And the way they went first, though, they went to the Jews. This was their method. Every town they went into, they went to the Jewish synagogue. They preached and taught as much as they could in that Jewish synagogue, until they were run off or until the thing is divided, and about half of them have already been saved. And that's where the early Christians came from. They came out of the Jewish synagogues because that's where they went to preach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Why would you go there? Well, they had the Bible. The Bible was just the Old Testament then. They had the Bible. They knew the Word of God. They were taught the promises. They knew all of these things, and they could go there and point to them, Christ fulfilled this promise and this promise and this promise and this promise and this promise. And he is the Messiah which has come to be the Savior of the world. So they went directly into it. That was their method. Now, today, we don't go out into other people's congregations and preach different doctrine than what they have. We've had some people come in here and try to do it. I was really tickled one time. It was a long time ago. About 6 or 8 young people, they're in their 20s, they came in here and decided because we had the open meeting at nights that they could just speak what they wanted to speak. And I thought, okay, I'm going to have to get up and take care of these characters. I didn't. A brother stood up over here and said, what about this verse? Another one, what about this verse? Another one, what about this verse? This whole place, the congregation shut them down. And then we told them they weren't welcome. Now, we don't tell many people they're not welcome here. But if you come in here to try to disturb us or mess with us somehow, you're not welcome. you want to come in here and share the Word of God and be blessed by it, you're welcome.
Amen.
At any rate, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now, these men are Jews. They were raised in it, and they've become Christians. As Brian was telling us, most of the early disciples were disciples of John the Baptist. And when John pointed out Jesus, some of them started following Jesus. And John's crowd lessened, and Jesus' crowd grew. Well, that was the purpose of John's ministry anyway. He was here to lay the foundation, to clear the path, to set it up, to point Jesus out to the crowd that was there and say, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." Okay, what we have is they go in here, and if you'll read this chapter, Paul begins to tell how God has brought Israel out of Egypt, brought her through the wilderness, brought them through the kingdoms, and he sort of relates their history as he comes up to it. And then when he comes down, he's talking about David talking about his body would not see corruption. Paul said he was not talking about himself because we got his sepulcher in the city and his body is already gone to dust. He's talking about Christ. And so that leads him into Christ that saw no corruption. So verse 38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." And you know what? He explains it. "And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now, that's a tremendous statement.
Amen.
You see, there are a lot of people today who think they can live by the law of Moses and be justified. It doesn't happen. First of all, you never did keep the whole law.
Amen.
One day in your life.
Right. Amen.
And if you come over into the New Testament, the compilation of the law is down into two. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul and thy neighbor as thyself." When did you ever keep that?
Amen.
What day did you ever live up to that loving God with all your heart? We love ourselves too much.
Amen.
All of us are selfish, some more than others. But even the very best of us, we have a problem with some of these things.
Amen.
We don't keep the law. We couldn't keep our salvation 1 hour if God left it in our hands. I'm so thankful that he didn't leave it in our hands.
Yes, amen.
I'm thankful he took care of it himself. He gave us a complete, full forgiveness, salvation, transformation, and eternal life.
Amen.
All as a gift.
Amen.
Not because we were better than anybody down the road, but bless your heart, you just believed. You just believed. "Be it known, therefore." This is what we're trying to preach. He's coming into this congregation here, and he relates this history. And he says, "Be it known, therefore." What's he trying to tell them? What's his purpose to come in here and preach? Why in the world go in and preach these doctrines? This is why. "Through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins." Do you know you need forgiveness?
Yes, amen.
I've talked to people who don't think they need forgiveness. I've talked to people who think they're good. They have never sinned. Well, I didn't have that luxury. I knew I was a sinner.
Amen.
I knew I was a sinner. I had no doubt in my mind. My daddy didn't have a doubt in his mind that I was a sinner. I know I was a sinner. I knew I needed my sins forgiven. Well, what's so big about having your sins forgiven? You can't go to heaven with your sins. See, the whole thing's about heaven and hell. It's really about having a good life here or not. Because what God did for me changed my life. Changed my life to one that was, I'm amazed. I'm thankful all the time at the blessings God has given me. And it came because of salvation. It came because You could be justified from all things. Justified. You know what that means? That means you've been taken before a court of law and the judge said absolutely innocent.
Amen.
And this is the court of heaven.
Amen.
The court of God carried you before the law and he says innocent, pure, righteous. How do you do that? Wow. I mean, this is his conclusion. He gives this sermon on, and he relates the history of Israel up to this point, and he's saying everything is coming down to this one point right here that you can be forgiven. You can be justified. And notice how he makes it very clear. Justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Moses' law had its faults. Moses' law showed us our sin. And it still shows us our sin. If you read it today, it's not going to make you feel righteous. It's not going to make you feel holy. You go back there and read in the 17th chapter of Exodus and get the Moses law. Read the Ten Commandments. If you can come out of that and say, I'm pure, I'm clean, I'm righteous, well, you're a bigger liar than I am. That's being pretty bad. So, here's the reason why they went to these Jewish synagogues. Your Messiah has come. Your Savior has come. God Almighty has made the way that you could be justified and have fellowship with God through this man, Jesus Christ. Oh, that's why we love him. He changed our life.
Amen.
That's why we love him. He forgives our sins.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You know, your biggest problem, you may not think so. Your biggest problem is your sin. What are you going to do about it? What can you do about it? Well, you can just keep on sinning. Or you can try to turn over a new leaf and this is a new year. We all make promises on the first of the year of what we're going to do in the year. How many of them do you keep? Well, what about trying to be sinless? You ever tried that? Well, the problem is, even if you're very good about not committing this sin or whatever you've decided not to do, you come up being proud of yourself that you've done so well.
Amen.
And God hates pride.
Amen.
It's one of the worst sins that we have. And all of us are full of pride.
Amen.
You may appear very humble outward, but if anybody can hurt your feelings in any way, it's because you've got pride. And pride is in all of us. So at any rate, here's this man. What we're preaching to you is a man. It's the man Christ Jesus. And he tells us about him as he's preaching to this congregation, this synagogue. He tells them about him. And he comes down to the conclusion that he can do for you what the law of Moses cannot do for you.
Amen.
And by the grace of God, you could be justified from all things. Amen?
Amen.
Now, forgiveness. Are you forgiven?
Amen.
Do you realize how beautiful that word is? I married a girl at 18. We argued and fought all our lives. We argued about everything. We talked all the time. She got mad sometimes. I got mad sometimes. You know how we made it almost just a few months from 60 years? Forgiving. I needed to be forgiven lots of times. I said things I shouldn't have said. I did things I shouldn't have done. But by the way, my sweet little girl that was so very nice, she did things she shouldn't have done. And she said things that she shouldn't have said. I spent 60 years forgiving her. And she spent 60 years forgiving me. You want to have your marriage work? Well, you can't be too proud.
Amen.
You're going to have to do some forgiving. And when they've got a bad day, just be sure you don't have a bad day. On Groucho Marx, years ago, his TV show. He had an 80-year-old couple. They've been married 60 years. And he asked the man, he said, how in the world did you stay married to this woman for 60 years? He said, we made a pact when we first got married that if one of us got mad, the other one would go for a walk. And he said, I've had a good walk every day for 60 years.
Amen.
Now, you know it's the truth.
Amen.
It is the truth. You need forgiveness. If you're one of those that claims you don't need forgiveness, if you don't commit sins, you're thinking about you didn't commit murder. You didn't commit adultery. You didn't steal from the bank. You didn't cheat on your income tax. And maybe if you say that, you would come out all right. But man, that's not all where sin is. Have you read those Ten Commandments recently? Have you read what Jesus said about them? He said, I'll reduce them down. Can't get the word I wanted. But I'll reduce them down to two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. What about your fishing equipment, Brian? Can't love that if you love God. What about your guns? Some of you guys got some guns you like to show off. You can't love those guns. What about you ladies with your little dogs that sleep on your pillows? Or your great old big tomcats? Yuck. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your mind?
Amen.
Can you control your mind that well? I can't control mine that well. I can't control what I dream. I can't control what I dream. Many times I cannot control what I think. Thoughts just come in. They just come in and go. They just pass across me like that. And some of them that I like, some of those thoughts that I like are sin.
Amen.
Every one of us in here, your biggest problem was or is sin.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And even as a born-again Christian, you cannot afford to sin. Because you got a father.
Amen.
Who will discipline you. You got a father that will hold you to account. You got someone that's going to judge every word you ever said, even the idle words. You got somebody that's going to mess with you over your sins as a believer. How about our gossip? You think God loves gossip? I don't think He does. We love it. Oh, you can be real self-righteous to me and say you don't love gossip. All you got to hear is some little story about somebody.
Amen.
And you'll pass it on.
Amen.
It's passed on all around. All the time. Bad news is faster than lightning. It just goes. It just spreads. You think God loves your judging your brother or your sister? All I know from the Bible, He doesn't. How about your pride?
Amen.
You get your feelings hurt all the time. You just are a walking pincushion. Everybody just sticks needles in you. You get your feelings hurt all the time. Have you ever thought that maybe that's your fault?
Amen.
Not the people that are saying things about you. Everybody gets something said about them. Isn't that right? Is there anyone here that hasn't said anything about somebody else? You heard something bad and you say, oh, listen, did you hear what I heard? We need forgiveness. One of our problems is we need forgiveness. And how are you going to get forgiveness? Well, the Bible says, by the way, this is to Solomon. Why don't you look at 2 Chronicles 7:14? Every revival meeting, I go over this verse too. Every time I really get in a mood of repentance, I go back and read this. God said this to Solomon, Second Chronicles 7, 13 and 14. Look what it says. Now here's God. Now we don't give God the credit for these today. But look at verse 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain. That's God. That's what he says right here. God is claiming it. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, well, that's not just an accident. If I command, if I send pestilence among the people, wow, diseases, disasters, and problems, and troubles. If my people, that's a big if, are you his people? Are you his people? I am. Are you born again? Are you saved? You washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen.
You a member of this fellowship? Are you his people? You are. If his people, what do his people have to do? Which are called by my name. That's what we're called by, right? Called by my name shall humble themselves. Oh, we're so proud. We're so proud. We don't need God. We can handle it ourselves. We don't need to talk to God about it. We can handle it ourselves. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's what he's talking about. That's called repentance. That's called repentance. Humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then what I hear from heaven will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What a promise. It's a promise for the Old Testament. It's a promise for the New Testament. It's a promise for the Jewish nation. It is a promise to the church of God today. I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And Paul said, the guy that can do the job has just arrived. It's Jesus. I'm here to tell you about him. He's come. He's lived. He's died. He's resurrected from the grave. He's alive. And you can be saved and have your sins forgiven.
Amen.
Well, when you get your sins forgiven, it's because you've gone to God.
Amen.
Now turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 18. Verse 20. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Some of you cannot forgive people when they've harmed you and hurt you. Some of you have a real hard time. Now, if somebody had raped one of my daughters or killed one of my daughters or done something like that, I would have a hard time forgiving them. I'd want to kill them. My personal vengeance, that's why I like the cowboy shoot 'em ups. I get my vicarious violence. I don't have to do it, but I get it. Peter was wondering about that. Verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I think that would be really generous. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven, 490 times. Wow. I have a hard time forgiving people for some things. I don't like lies. I like truth. And I know some of you think I'm too blunt and bold with what truth I have. But I like truth. I respect truth. How forgiving are you? Peter said, Lord, if Andrew slaps my face and I forgive him seven times, wouldn't that be a good thing? Wouldn't you think that'd be great? Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. How many times would you go before you go and you have a knockdown drag out, right? And he asked Jesus what seems like a very good question. Lord, if I will endure and control myself for seven times, that's pretty good. And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Ooh, anybody in here volunteering? You want to take 490 licks one day and forgive? What he's telling you is God forgives. You know what we know about God? He forgives.
Amen.
You know what I know about God? God is interested in salvation. You know what I know? God wants to save souls. God wants to forgive you. He doesn't want you to bear your sin.
Amen. Thank
he does not want you to suffer for your sin. He does not want you to die under your sin. God wants to forgive you.
Amen.
God is a God of forgiveness. He's a God of righteousness, but He's a God of forgiveness. Wow. 70 times 7. Now let me tell you, I've had some experience with this. You think if you're a preacher that everything goes smooth for you. You think if you're a preacher, nobody steals from you. You think if you're a preacher, why, nobody will say bad things about you. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been cussed in a lot of languages. I have been criticized. I have been the roast preacher on Sunday afternoon as they drive home from church saying, that guy said booger. Had a guy left the church one time. He was mad as it could be. And he come back there at the back and I said, what's the matter? He said, do you know what you said? And I said, yes, but what are you worried about? He said, you said booger from the pulpit. I said, what did I say before I said booger? He said, I don't know. I said, what did I say after I said booger? He said, I don't know. I said, if I hadn't said booger, you wouldn't gotten anything. You know why you got to forgive people that sin against you? Because you're forgiven.
Amen.
I don't care how much anybody has done to you, you've done worse to the Lord.
Amen.
And you may have done worse to your wife or your husband or to your children.
Amen.
You may have done worse to other people that you have had the chance to abuse and you abused. God, help us. We need forgiveness.
Amen.
We need forgiveness, and God is in the business of forgiveness.
Amen.
That's why if my brother sins against me, I've got to forgive him. I've got to forgive him. I've got to leave him in the hands of the Lord. There is a verse in Romans. It's not in my sermon, but it's in my mind. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. I learned to use that practically. Say, Lord, this fellow has offended me. This fellow's done me wrong. I'm not going to take any more steps with it. I'm putting him in your hands. I'm going to forget it. I'm going to lay it over upon you. You have forgiven me. You treat him however you want to treat him. I believe you will do what you said you will do. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And you know, I can forgive that way. In fact, I get peace in my heart that way. Do you spend nights wanting to tear somebody's head off?
Amen.
I have. I've had the whole night ruined because I wanted to tear somebody's head off.
Amen.
Haven't you?
Yes.
Don't lie. Don't lie. Yeah, some of you are lying big time right now. Oh, yes, you have. You've lost sleep over it. The reason why you have to be forgiving is because you've been forgiven.
Amen.
You've been forgiven more by God than anyone has ever committed against
Amen.
You.
Yes. Amen.
In the book of Acts, back in the book of Acts, chapter 26, Paul is getting to testify before a king. Now, Paul had a tremendous privilege. I believe he even testified before Caesar, whichever Caesar was there at the time. I believe he got to testify before Caesar. But he's here before Agrippa. And as he's giving his testimony, he tells about the light that came from heaven, struck them all down. And then a voice in verse 15 said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He's telling the king, I got struck down on the Damascus Road. It was Jesus, and he named himself to me. And I became his servant. And he said, I was going to preach the gospel to Gentiles. And that's what I've been doing. And then he says, for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness. Now, what's he wanting to do? He's preaching a gospel to them. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 is a rich verse. You ought to mark it so you notice it every time you turn your Bible to that page. To open their eyes. If you're saved here, do you remember when you were blind? You remember how you could not understand anything from the Bible or anything religious or anything spiritual? It just didn't fit with you until God opened your eyes.
Amen.
And when God opened your eyes, what a revelation.
Amen.
To open their eyes. To turn them from darkness to light. Some of you, if you'd have stayed on the course you had, you'd be dead by now already. If you'd have kept taking the drugs and the things you were taking, you kept drinking the liquor you were drinking, you kept fornicating like you were fornicating, you'd be dead already.
Amen.
God opened your eyes.
Thank you, Lord.
God came along and just struck you. He did me. He did me. I was a church member. My families were all Christians. Methodist, Baptist, whatever. I thought I was a Christian. I thought I'm pretty good. I'm not as bad as some of the thugs I knew. They were bad, but I was medium bad. I really wasn't good, but no, you wouldn't put me in that class. Oh yeah, we're all in that class. When God opened my eyes, I saw what a sinner I was. And I was. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God.
Amen.
Do you remember? Do you remember when you were under the power of Satan?
Amen.
Do you remember when you were under the power of darkness? Do you remember how your old heart was wicked? You got saved and God did something for you. He turned you around. He changed you from what you were. Wow. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. Notice how that keeps coming up. Forgiveness of sins. And an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Forgiveness of sins. And how about an inheritance in heaven? Bless your heart. I don't care if you take an old barrel and throw me in it and dig a little trench somewhere and pop me in it, but don't worry about me when I die. I'll take your prayers now. I am the bionic man. I got all these things about me. They got leads, electrical leads into my heart and all these other stuff, you know. Bionic, praise God. My daddy might have lived a lot longer if they had all this stuff when he was alive. I'm still here. And by the grace of God, I'm still preaching and plan on preaching more if God gives me another day. I've got an inheritance. You know who I'm going to inherit with? Those that are sanctified by faith. I'm going with the believers. I'm going with the saved. I'm going with immortal men, transformed and made like Jesus Christ. Wow! How about that? How about that for a promise? How about that for a future? Praise God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Here's another one you ought to mark so that you can notice it every time you turn that page. Wow. Listen to what it says. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, that's suitable, we're fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Where are we headed? Bless your heart. With all of the saved of the world, with the greatest souls that ever lived, all of those that have been born again, that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, in the light of the Almighty God, and we're going to live with them forever.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Amen.
But that's not all. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness.
Amen.
I know he delivered me.
Amen.
I smoked and drank and cussed and gambled and did a lot of other things. Well, you know, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't gamble. I won't even flip a coin with you to see who buys the Cokes. I'll just offer to buy them. You know something? God changed me. And he did it in one day.
Amen.
One day. Talk about power. Talk about power. Talk about running into power, meeting power. Oh, bless your heart. I met power. You know what he did? He delivered me from the power of darkness. And then he translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. Wow.
Amen.
Who's my Lord? Jesus.
Amen.
What's the greatest name? Jesus.
Amen.
What name are you meeting in? Jesus.
Amen.
What name are you preaching in? Jesus. What name can get you forgiveness of sins? Jesus.
Amen.
Translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Wow. Go back to that first verse, chapter 13, verse 38. You may be here today, you may have just dropped in. You may be a regular that's come here all for years, but you realize today you're not forgiven, you're not saved, you're not sure. Well, I want you to know, through this man, that's Jesus, through this man, we preach the forgiveness of sins. The only way your sins can be forgiven is if Jesus pays for them.
Amen.
If Jesus does not pay for your sins, no one else can. And you will never live long enough to pay for them in hell.
Amen.
Through this man is preached the forgiveness of sins. And by this man, Jesus, all that believe. Are you a believer?
Amen.
Praise God. Are you a believer?
Amen.
Shout it out. I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And by him, all that believe, this is for you, are justified from all things.
Thank you.
He didn't leave anything out. When Jesus forgives you, it's all forgiven. When he does a complete job.
Yes, sir. Amen.
By him, all the believer justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. It's the only way. It's not that I'm so smart. I wasn't smart. God just bumped into me. God just forced himself to confront my life. And I realized I was lost and going to hell. That if I'd have died like my friend had died, I'd be in hell, not heaven. God is not going to take the best, half of the best of people of the world. No. It's not anything like that. It's all that believe. We preach a message. It's a message that is absolutely true. I'm a skeptic of every politician out there, even the good ones. I'm a skeptic. I am a terrible skeptic. I don't believe any ads on television. I don't believe any of them. And every once in a while, I'll sign up for something. I'll call them and get something, and then I'm disappointed. But I believe this book. I don't know where it came from, my belief in the book. I don't know why I believe it is the Word of God without error and I can trust it. I'm not sure who preached it to me, who taught it to me, where I got it. I just know I have it. That's what I believe. I don't believe all sorts of things, but I believe this book. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
I believe He died and paid for the sins of all mankind.
Amen.
I believe all that will believe Him and trust Him and call upon Him, humble themselves before God, will be forgiven and saved.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
And He'll change their life right here. Do you have that?
Amen.
Can you say with assurance in your heart, I'm saved today. I am saved. If I die, I'm going to heaven. And if I live, I'll try to live for God.
Amen.
If you can't do that, if you don't have that assurance, if you're trusting your religion or you're trusting your good works or you're trusting your religion or your mother and your father or whatever, there are people doing trust in all sorts of things. You can be saved today. It happens in an instant. In an instant. In a moment of time. You believe the Lord. You feel His power touching you in your mind. He'll let you know. You'll know you're not right. You'll know you are not forgiven. And if you will repent, that means change your mind about your sin, your life, your commitment to God. You'll repent. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Quit being so proud. Quit defending yourself all the time. Humble yourself before God. Ask Him to forgive you. God is in the business of forgiving sinners.
Amen.
Let's sing a special. Let's sing a invitation verse. Just as I am. That's a good old favorite. Everybody knows it almost by heart. My friend, if God has spoken to you, whether you're a Christian and you just need to rededicate or whatever, that's why these chairs are left up here at front, so you can get on your knees and talk to God. You're welcome to come. And if you're here today and you're not saved and you know it, it's been revealed to you, God's spoken into your mind, say you're not saved, you can come down here and get on your knees and call upon Jesus Christ as your Savior. This invitation is open, whatever. Christian, if you just need to pray, you're welcome. Let's sing it.